Hello, good morning. It's good to see you from that side here. And welcome to the last service of 2024. I don't know how you feel and how you are looking back to your last year. I want to start my speech with a little history. In ancient China, there lived an old farmer. He owned a strong horse, a stallion, that the entire village envied him for. He also had a son who helped him with his work. One morning, the stallion ran away, and the whole village lamented, saying, "What a misfortune." But the farmer simply said, "Who knows? Is it good luck or is it bad luck?" A few days later, the stallion returned, bringing several wild horses with him. Everyone was overjoyed and said, "Wow, what a good fortune." But the farmer said, "Who knows? Is it good luck or is it bad luck?" The next day, while trying to tame one of the wild horses, the farmer's son was thrown off and broke his leg. Once again, everyone lamented, said, "What a misfortune." But the farmer calmly said, "Who knows? Is it good luck or is it bad luck?" Shortly afterward, the emperor's soldiers came to recruit young men for the army. Since the farmer's son had a broken leg, the soldier couldn't take him and moved on. And the farmer simply said, "Who knows? Is it good luck or is it bad luck? You never know." We can continue this story with a lot of examples, but it mirrors wonderful what we can expect in the coming year. Everybody of us will have highs and lows. We have time to celebrate and we have sad times. Maybe you are sick now and you will recover in the coming year really soon. Maybe you find your dream job, or you have a nice new business idea. You start a new business. And maybe you finally find your dream partner of your future and get married maybe. But we also know could be also in the opposite. Maybe you receive a bad diagnosis and you don't know how this will end. Or your family member. And of course, some of us experienced this last year and we know this can show up in the coming year. Maybe you crash your business or someone else crashes your business. You lose your dream job and you ended up and don't know how to continue. Highs and lows. And maybe, and we also know this happens all the time around us, family crashes. Yesterday, I sat together from 9 o'clock in the evening till 1 o'clock with my neighbor, a couple, and they destroyed everything. We figured out there were so deep issues that they cannot continue. I was praying for them, tears left and right. I've never experienced this before. Something between a really disaster and a miracle. And I don't know how this will end up. And they don't know either. But highs and lows are waiting for you and for me in the coming year. And this brings us all together to the same sheet of paper. And I want to share with you my favorite story. The story of Joseph. We want to study a bit together how Joseph went to really good highs and he experienced really deep lows. You have to know that Joseph's life begin with a huge disaster. And Joseph's life begin with a dream and ended up in a vocation. And I titled my sermon this morning, Dream versus Vocation. Joseph experienced in this whole life a lot of highs and a lot of lows, like in the history from the beginning. But maybe you know the history from the Sunday school of Joseph. This was that beautiful young man in a nice family and, of course, bad brothers. But I want to sketch the picture a bit new, because I found out this was not reality from the Sunday school. Who was Joseph? He grew up in a complicated patchwork family. His father, Jacob, has two wives. And whenever there is a game with one man and two wives, it's complicated. And the problem was, Jacob, and with his two wives, he only loved one, Rachel. She was the dream love of Jacob, the first one. He saw her and he fell in love. He worked 7 years to get her, to marry her. And then he woke up and had not only one, he had two wives in the bed. The oldest sister, Leah. And it's written in the scripture that Jacob loves Rachel. She was the dream woman, the dream wife. And Leah was unloved. What a horrible story of Leah. But it's not everything. So Rachel was unfertile, was not able to receive children. Leah received many children and was blessed. But imagine how Jacob feels. You have the beautiful love of your life and you are only two because you cannot create your family. And there was the other woman. She was only part of the deal and she received many children. So he was a father of children, but you can imagine, yeah, this is nice, but I planned to create a family with my dream wife. So that was kind of the situation of the start of Joseph. But finally, and this is the moment where the life of Jacob completely changed. Imagine that picture. It is the morning, like here on Mallorca, sun is coming up, birds are singing, Jacob sleeps, and Rachel is knocking on his bedroom door, and he is telling him, Jacob, I have good news, I am pregnant. And Jacob said, what? I waited so long for that. I've never imagined that will happen. That was the moment color come back to Jacob's life. Now he can create his beautiful family with his dream wife, Rachel. They receive a baby. Now he can be the father he would love to be. That was the construction, the family composition where Joseph were born. And Joseph grew up in that construction, in that family. And I think Jacob, he also raised him like his dream son. And imagine what does it mean. It's written that the brothers has to work a lot. They had to be on the field, taking care of the sheep and the goats and being far away. They came home thirsty, hungry every day, or they sleep outside of the field maybe. But Joseph was special. He had not worked such hard. His father treated him better. He was the loved son. And of course, he implemented this in his heart. Joseph thought, okay, yes, should be true. I am special. And one day he became a nice robe, a beautiful, beautiful robe. And I studied a bit. I did some research. The textile of this robe was not just a normal one, not just colorful. The textile was made for princes, for royalty. So everybody realized Joseph is the little prince. And Joseph implemented this in himself. And it begins the story that Joseph has a dream. And imagine that picture. The Joseph, the son of love, the prince, had a dream. Other side, the brothers came home from work, exhausted, thirsty, hungry. It was late in the night. And Joseph showed up and said, hey, I don't know how your day was. My day was great. You see a strong root of pride. And just to say it a bit later, God is starting and God is taking Joseph through some lessons, because he cannot work with pride people. God will test Joseph. And when I hear the word test, everything is squeezing in me. Because when I experience tests in school or somewhere else, you can be in or you can be out. You are good or you are bad. You are a winner or you are a loser. It's only separated. But when I talk about test and when God is testing Joseph, he used another picture. And I shortly explain this picture with the picture of when Michelangelo created his David, the famous statue in Florence. Michelangelo started with the raw block of white Carrara marble, and he was working out of that marble block the beautiful statue. And after, everybody was asking, okay, Michelangelo, how you did this? How you did this beautiful work, this kind of miracle? And he said, okay, that was quite simple. I just hammer things and marvel away, which don't belong to this David. And this is the perfect picture of when God is testing Joseph. He is hammering and chiseling things away that they don't belong to Joseph. And imagine when you go through some lows in the next coming year, you can remember God is hammering on you because you are not finished. God sees in you kind of a finished sculpture like Michelangelo, and he's hammering on your things away. They don't belong to your life. Coming back to Joseph, to that first dream, And I'm coming back to that situation when the brothers came home, back home, and were waiting for some food, but not the food was coming up. Joseph was coming up. Joseph had a dream. And whenever you have a dream, or people in the scripture had a dream, most of the time they were for themselves. When the angel go to Mary and told her, "You will be the mother of the Savior of this world," it's written, she kept the words into his heart. Not Joseph, because he was the prince. In Genesis 37, verse 7, we read, so, this is the situation where the brothers came up and Joseph, "I will let you know what my dream was." And it begins, so, your day, I don't know, you work, but my day was beautiful. We were in the field. Maybe you were on the field because I cannot work, tying the grain into sheaves. Then mine suddenly sat up and stayed upright. Yours, on the other hand, formed a circle around it and bowed down to my sheaf. Imagine. What is this side thinking of Joseph? Asshole. Now we can understand that Joseph is not the little nice boy in the story of Sunday school. He had a huge problem. He grew up in a disaster family and he implemented a disaster. And how I said, God cannot work with pride. Pride is the biggest enemy of development, of growing. And Joseph received a second chance. But he did learn. In Genesis, we read, Joseph had another dream. In 37 verse 9, he has another dream and he told it to his brothers too. Listen, I saw the sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowing down before me, he described. And now it's the time Joseph had to learn some lessons, because now the brothers were down. It's written that they cannot talk to him in a nice way. They hated him. In the next chance, and in the most of you know how the story continues, they grabbed Joseph when they were outside on the field. They grabbed him, take him, and kidnapped him, made him quiet. It was not nice, and throw him down in that deep hole, in that old dry fountain. And that was the moment, I think, where Joseph realized, okay, help is coming, my father will rescue me. After some hours, maybe, when he was sitting down, nobody is coming. And shoot, my robe is away, it's stolen from my brothers. I'm quite naked. Hey, what could this mean? And after some more hours, thirsty and hungry, in that old dry fountain, spiders around, and maybe a bit wet, but not really water to drink. He realized, okay, this is the death sentence. This is my end. And seriously, that was the end, because this was a one-way street. Because imagine, they want to kill Joseph, and it's not possible, okay, to apologize, to take Joseph again on the back to his father. Now we will fix everything. No, this was a family disaster, and it almost ended in a nightmare. But it's written that God was not taking away his spirit from Joseph. Also, when he lost his robe, he lost his position. He was not even more the prince. But God stayed with Joseph. And we can see maybe what does mean for us. And the good news for you is when you are in a deep hole of shit, it doesn't matter if you created it or someone else created it, but when you are in that deep, dry fountain, when you are in the mess, God is not taking away his spirit from you. He let it not happen that the brothers of Joseph kill him. God is not letting it happen that some people around you take decisions about your future. Joseph fortunately got sold and not killed. He got sold to a caravan and he ended up in Egypt. He ended up in also nice circumstances again, at the Potiphar house. And I want to read Genesis 39, 2-6. The Lord was with Joseph. He gave him great success. Joseph lived in Potiphar's house. Joseph's master saw that the Lord was with him. He saw that the Lord made Joseph successful in everything he did. So Potiphar was pleased with Joseph and made him his attendant. He put Joseph in charge of his house. He trusted Joseph to take care of everything he owned. From that time on, the Lord blessed also Potiphar's family and servants because of Joseph. He blessed everything Potiphar had in his house and field. So Joseph took good care of everything Potiphar owned. With Joseph in charge, Potiphar didn't have to worry about everything except the food he ate. Joseph was strong and handsome. Joseph came as a slave to the house of Potiphar, but Potiphar gave him a new position. You can say from a pool boy to a house manager. And of course, God created this history and God gave him this position. But I think in that story that not for everybody was that clear. Only Potiphar only saw, okay, everything what Joseph is doing, it's blessed. So he must have a strong God. And the last sentence is from a scripture here, Joseph was strong and handsome. Could create new problems in a circumstances where money and time is maybe comparable to this beautiful island. Imagine you have a huge villa, a huge pool, and some nice boats outside. You have time, and you don't know what to do with your time. So this was the situation of the next test of Joseph. The wife of Potiphar show up. And, you know, she saw that beautiful housekeeper, that beautiful manager, and said, okay, wow, my husband is far away, he's working a lot. Why not have to have some fun with Joseph? So it's written in the scripture that she asked Joseph, hey, come sleep with me. And that not only once, every day. Imagine Joseph, the young, nice man, far away from his home, far away and in a good position. And you can see Joseph react different. It seems that he has learned some things, some strong character. How beautiful is that? There we can see a development. The thing is with sin, it's comparable with that beautiful wife. She has to be beautiful because Potiphar was one of the influential men in the whole kingdom of Egypt. So for sure he had a beautiful wife. She was knocking at Joseph's door every day. And sin is knocking on our door maybe every week, maybe every day, maybe every time. And the problem is sin is not ugly. A short picture for that. I met a friend. It's years ago. I asked him after his first year of marriage. I asked him, come, be honest. You have a beautiful job. You have a beautiful wife. Everything is great, huh? Tell me honestly, please. Do you have eyes for other women or other beautiful girls? And he said, I expected, no, everything is done. It's nice. When I will get married, I have no problems anymore. He answered, no. Of course. I have eyes for beautiful women all around. This shit never stops. It's not when you climb up a mountain, it's done. You have climbed up and you took it. It's not the sense, not the thing with sin we see here in Scripture, and we see also, I think, in our own lives. Sin is not ugly, it's beautiful, and it's knocking on every open door. Joseph did the best thing ever. He did the speedy Gonzales and run. Because one situation was the wife of Potiphar, she held him because nobody else were there. This was the time she waited for, and she took him and asked, okay, let's go, I'm ready. Let's have some fun. Imagine, beautiful situation, huh? And he took, no, you are the wife of Potiphar. I'm in charge of that beautiful house and everything here. I'm the second manager direct under him. And Joseph remembered, when one man and two wives in a game is a problem, and when two men and one wife is in the game, it's also a problem. It's going to be complicated. So he took his feet in the hand and run. Best thing we can learn from, just run. He won the test. We can imagine. And this is the part where I am struggling, because Joseph is faithful. He resists. He made a great job. He was loyal. But the wife of Potiphar, she kept the second robe of Joseph, his new position. She kept it. And she was angry because she didn't receive her goal. So with that cord, with that rope, she went to his husband and said, okay, hey, this poor slave you brought to our house, he tried to rape me. And Potiphar gets angry for sure and put Joseph in prison. A faithful man going into prison. This is the part I don't understand. Why is he going to prison? Is this fair, I ask you? Is this fair? No. Of course not. But what is happening? You will see how God is taking his hammer and his chisel and start chiseling and hammering again on Joseph, because he was not ready. In the prison, we also read that Joseph went up in a nice position. He was like the helper of the chef of the boss of the prison. So he was going around and gave some food to the prisoners. He had some conversations with them. He helped out. He was in prison, but maybe in a good position in a prison. And dreams coming up. Two prisoners had a dream, and Joseph was the one who can explain the dream. In Genesis 40, 12 to 15, we read and take an eye on the grammar. "I will tell you what the dream means," replied Joseph when the prisoners told him the dreams. "And think of me when you feel well again. Tell Pharaoh about me and ask him to get me out of here. I was taken from my homeland, the land of the Hebrews, and now I am sitting here in prison, even though I did do anything wrong." Remember the first coat of Joseph he got stolen from his brothers. The coat, his position. "I am Joseph, the son of love. The prince." This robe was away, but it was still in Joseph's heart. I, me, and my. There was so much Joseph still in Joseph, there were no free space. But Jesus told his disciples, "Wait for the Holy Spirit and give them room. Make space in your life for the Holy Spirit. How more space you give to God, how more God can enter in your life." But Joseph's life was plenty. There was so much I, me, and my in Joseph's life already that there were no space for God. Over years, God chiseled and hammered I, me, and you out of the life of Joseph. Sin is maybe not the biggest problem of God, but pride is growing in us. And this is the biggest enemy for development. This is the biggest enemy for growth. So, for God chiseling in your life, in my life, the pride away is maybe the complicated thing ever we see, like the story in Joseph. I have a different picture for you. When you are a disciple, maybe you know God and the story from your childhood, and you are a disciple, you are have a clean heart. You're saying, okay, I really would like to find my vocation. I'm on a good way. I did something good. Yes, I'm up, I have up and downs, but end of the day I can say, yes, my heart is on the right place. But I feel I'm working on the same position. I cannot move forward. And you get exhausted from that. You don't know what to do. You want to be more in church. You want to serve more. Or you do already. But you feel in your situation, in your life actually now, that you are trampling on the same position. I have a picture for you. I call it the bow and arrow picture. Maybe you can imagine when God is the bow and you are the arrow. You have your goal and you know the direction. You want to work on God's kingdom and you are already working. But you feel, I make steps backwards, not forwards, backwards. Could be meaning that God is giving tension to your life because he wants to shoot you more powerful in your vocation, in your goal, in his dream. So imagine when you are going back, it could be also that God is working on you. God is giving tension to your life. And of course, tension is not just relaxing. After 2 years, Joseph got a new position. God gave also in Joseph's life tension and shoot him to another position. And you know, directly to the Pharaoh's house. And it came up like that. The Pharaoh, the biggest king of the whole Egypt, has a dream, and nobody could explain that. And the Pharaoh was asking his people around, who can help out? One people remembered, I met Joseph in prison and he explained me my dream, everything come true. And also he explained the dream of the baker and everything come true. He is, I think, the only one he can help out. So they got Joseph out of the prison to in front of the Pharaoh. And here is the interesting part. First Genesis 41, verse 25 and 28. Joseph is talking to the Pharaoh, and he is explaining, both dreams mean the same thing, explained Joseph. God has told you through them what he is going to do. God will let you know what he will do. Is there any I, me, or my? After many, 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 many years and many, many, many lows and some highs, Joseph was growing into his vocation. God positioned him and gave him a new rope, a new position. And you know, Joseph was the second mightiest man of whole Egypt, directly under the Pharaoh. And what was his job? He was the minister of food. He was giving whole Egypt food, because there were 7 good years and 7 not good years. He separated and collected everything and gave portions out. And also, we read, also to his family, also to his brothers. Dream versus vocation. Joseph's life was beginning with a dream. And I draw that circle to that situation where Joseph was telling his brothers the dream. You will bow down before me. No, they did not bow down. They asked for food. Joseph's vocation was much bigger than the dream, much more important than the picture. And I will tell you this morning, for the next year, for our and for you next year, when you experience some highs and some lows, remember, God wants to chisel and hammering on you, because he sees in you the David, but it's not ready. Nobody of us is ready. Whenever God is testing you, you can find, and I encourage you, open the hands and try to hear, okay, how I can react. Yes, I want to be open for some chiseling. In that history of Joseph, we see God stays with Joseph. He was not alone. And maybe you ask, okay, nice, Joseph, but I, in my situation, I don't feel God. I am alone. I'm sitting here in front of my pile of broken things, like maybe the couple of yesterday night I met. God is in our situation. I have that talk with that friend. It's also years ago, but it's still so strong on my mind. He was in crisis, and he told me, Chris, I sent it many prayers to heaven, but no answer, no reaction. I don't believe it. Heaven is empty. And the truth is, yes, the heaven is empty because God is in this room. God is glowing, is gluing on you. You are not alone. And I encourage you in the coming year to celebrate the highs, but also to celebrate the lows and open your hand and receiving some hammering, some chiseling of our beloved God. Amen.